Today is the auspicious disappearance day anniversary of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We'll begin the glorification of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta by chanting a particular bhajan which he was very, very fond of, and particularly on the day that he departed from this world, he particularly wanted to hear this bhajan, and he heard it, and that is Sri Rupa Manjari Pada from the Prarthana of Sri Narottam Das Thakur.
Shri Rupa Manjari Pada She Mora Sampada Shri Rupa Manjari Pada She Mora Sampada She Mora Bhajana Pujana She Mora Bhajana Pujana She Mora Pranadhana She Mora Abharana She Mora Pranadhana She Mora Abharana She Mora Jivane Rajivana She Mora Jivane Rajivana She Mora She Mora Rasanidhi She Mora Vanchasiddhi She Mora She Mora Rasanidhi She Mora Vanchasiddhi She Mora She Mora Vedera Dharma She Mora Vedera Dharma She Mora Shweta Praha Shemora Mantra Japa Shivrata Shweta Praha Shemora Mantra Japa Shemora Shemora Dharma Karama Shemora Dharma Karama Anukulaha Bevedi Shepade Hoibesidhi Anukulaha bevedi Sepate hoi besiti Nirakhiba edu inayane Nirakhiba edu inayane Shri Rupa Madhuri Rashi Pranakuvalaya Shashi Shri Rupa Madhuri Rashi Shri Rupa Madhuri Rashi Pranakuvalaya Shashi Prafulita Habe Nishi Dine Prafulita habe nishidine Tuva adarshana ahi Garale jajal dehi Tuva adarshana Tuva adarshana ahi Garale jajal dehi Chiradina tapita jivana Chiradina tapita jivana Aha Rupa Karadaya देह मोरे पद छाया रूप कर दया देह मोरे पद छाया नरोत्तम लैल शरण नरोत्तम लैल शरण श्री रूप मंजरी पद श्री मोर संपद श्री मोर भजन पूजन हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतहिस्ट डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतहिस्ट डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर तिरुभाव दिवस महोत्सव की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरद्विषये नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। टुडे इज द Tithi, or the day on which His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur re-entered into the divine pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. Having been sent here in the first place to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls in this particular universe, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is recognized as an eternal associate of the Lord, who has specially been sent for preaching here. So his descent into this world, his birth, his appearance are not to be considered ordinary, like the birth of other conditioned living entities. The appearance of the eternal associates of the Lord is also like the appearance of the Supreme Lord himself. The Supreme Lord comes out of his own free will and is never under the clutches of the inferior material energy. Similarly, when the Lord personally dispatches his associates for fulfilling his purposes, their appearance and their activities are also not under the jurisdiction of the inferior material energy of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is in many ways the inaugurator, so to speak, of the powerful preaching that found its culmination in the extraordinary efforts of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It started actually with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. With Bhakti Vinod Thakur began the preaching for the modern era. Before that, there was quite a dark period. From Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there were the six Goswamis, and then there was also a bright period with Goswamis like Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, Srinivas Acharya. There was of course Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, then followed Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidya Bhushan, and after that there was a gap. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came at a time when Vaishnavism was mired in all kinds of misconceptions. People misunderstood Vaishnavas, and there were so many apasampradayas, deviant sects, claiming to be and appearing to be externally to be Vaishnavas, but they were not actually following the real teachings and principles as taught and practiced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who really began the process of innovation and dynamic preaching by writing books in modern day languages that was understood by contemporary audiences. He began speaking in English. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very scholarly, very erudite. And it was his fourth son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who took such preaching and such innovation to unprecedented heights, never before seen. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's contributions are numerous. Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, has firmly followed in his footsteps in terms of making so many innovations to suit modern day needs for the sake of preaching. For one thing, sannyasis and renunciants before him never wore sewn cloth. We have a rule that when you go onto the altar, you shouldn't have any cloth that is sewn. And that was the standard for anyone who was in the renounced order, whether on the altar or off the altar. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to wear kurtas, shirts, he would wear overcoats, he would wear caps, he would wear shoes, he would sometimes, what to speak of walking on foot or going by ox cart, he would travel in motor cars. At one time there were very, very few motor cars in the whole city of Calcutta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was one of them who owned one, or he used one for the sake of preaching. He sent his disciples across the seas to the western countries to preach. Even today, there are some Vaishnava sampradayas, what to speak of the others, who ostracize some sannyasis because they travel across the seas. It has happened very recently, even in South India, because one particular acharya from that particular sampradaya, he ventured to popularize that branch of Vaishnavism, which he felt was degenerating because of the influence of Kali. He was very severely criticized and actually ostracized by the other sannyasis. So we can imagine how orthodox it must have been at Bhaktisiddhanta's time. But he was so bold, he sent out these preachers across the seas to UK and to Germany and so on. In this way he constructed also many, many facilities for the sake of preaching. The Bagh Bazar temple, the Gaudi Mutt, present-day Gaudi Mutt, was another first. Before him, sannyasis or babajis lived a reclusive life. They kept away from the people of the city, or even in the villages they pretty much lived by themselves. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta emphasized the need for renunciants to be amongst the people at large. And he told his sannyasi and brahmachari disciples to live in the city, because there was a need for preaching. There was, of course, also much preaching going on in the villages, but the temple at Bagh Bazar was a path-breaking venture. Here was a grand edifice made of marble, 29 pinnacles. It was huge compared to the temples that were being built in those days. And the sannyasis and brahmacharis lived there. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself also lived there. He preached there, he taught there, because he understood that this was necessary for the sake of preaching. Because he understood that now society was moving in a way of increasing urbanization. And if he didn't preach in the big cities like Calcutta, then this movement would never spread. In fact, it is interesting to note that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preferred to depart from this world in Calcutta, in the Bagh Bazar temple. He was just prior to his departure in Jagannath Puri. And there he was visiting all the holy places. He was staying there enjoying his bhajan. But he decided to return to Calcutta. And the reason was that he said that we are warriors. We are fighting Maya. Fighting a very severe, difficult battle against Maya, trying to rescue all the conditioned souls. For a soldier, it is a glorious death to die on the battlefield, not in the house. So the city was the battlefield, where Maya was at her strongest. So he preferred to die in the city as a good soldier, as a valiant soldier, fighting on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. And he departed over there. So for a devotee, it doesn't really matter whether one leaves in Vrindavan or one doesn't. One of the important services here for devotees in Vrindavan is to facilitate the departures of devotees who come here specifically to leave their body. Much has been said in the scriptures about the glories of living in Vrindavan and departing from this world from Vrindavan. Nevertheless, it is also an established principle that has been repeated time and again by the great acharyas, especially by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that it doesn't matter where a pure devotee leaves the body. Because wherever a pure devotee is, that place is Vrindavan. In fact, that in one of the famous quotes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he says that any place where devotees gather to chant the holy name is a place of pilgrimage. It becomes sanctified and it is worthy of being visited by by people later on. So it was in this mood that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta lived and departed from this world. His contributions are also very numerous. At that time, the caste Brahmanism was very, very deeply entrenched in the minds of people. The caste Brahmanas had taken on a very, very strong stand on the matter of who a Brahmana could be. Their particular view was that only a person who is born in a caste Brahmana family is eligible to be an acharya. And even if there is a pure devotee born in a non-Brahmin family, then he could not be a guru or an acharya. And even if a person who was not born in a Brahmin family was duly initiated according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi or the system, still he was not qualified to worship the Shaligram Shila and the deities of the Lord. So this was their fixed conclusion. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke very, very strongly against this. At one time, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been very strongly preaching against this idea, a lot of awareness had been raised and the caste Brahmanas were up in arms. And a particular meeting was organized in Midnapore district in Bengal. Many, many scholars and caste Brahmanas had been invited for deliberations on this topic. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time was suffering from severe rheumatism and he was not in a position to attend this conference. And he was lamenting that is there no one in this world who can go there and destroy all this illusion, who can cut to pieces all these malicious and false arguments. At that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who was doing his bhajan, he came forward with a paper he wrote, Understanding Bhaktivinoda's Pain, and he read it out to his father. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so overjoyed that even in his sick condition, he began to speak in a loud voice, Saraswati, oh, you are the real Saraswati. Oh, Acharya, son, you have come, you have come. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, even before Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance, prayed to the Lord that please let me have a child who will be like a ray of Vishnu, who will come here and spread your glories and establish firmly the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire had been fulfilled by the Lord in the form of his most illustrious son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. With heartfelt blessings, Bhaktivinoda sent his son to that conference. It was a 3-day conference. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta reached there, initially he began to speak by quoting profusely from the Shastra different verses that glorified the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were overjoyed to hear this because they thought, oh really? So there were verses that even they did not know, because they were usually very particular about pointing out the verses from the scriptures that say the Brahmanas are very elevated and exalted. And here Bhaktisiddhanta was producing verses that they did not know about how glorious were the Brahmanas. And after he had glorified Brahmanas, then he began to come to the point of what a real Brahmana is, and what a Vaishnava is, and what is the relationship between a Brahmana and a Vaishnava. And as he went on, the Brahmanas were flabbergasted. Then they began to oppose him by different arguments. But Bhaktisiddhanta very strongly refuted each of these arguments. His logic was so irrefutable that everyone was left speechless. Some of the Vaishnava Acharyas, like Sri Vishvambharananda Goswami of the Shamananda school, was there, he was sitting in the chair. He was the chairman of that particular conference. And at the end of the three days, so persuasive and powerful had been the influence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that there was no one who could stand up to speak anything against his words. And he gave the concluding two-hour speech. It was a fiery speech full of Siddhanta, full of quotations. And at the end of it, there was such a tumultuous uproar in the assembly because they all recognized that here was a most extraordinary personality and he had established the true Siddhanta. And they all started rushing towards him to touch his lotus feet. But the guards over there were very vigilant. They held them back somehow or the other with great difficulty. And then they physically carried Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and forcefully placed his feet in a bucket of water. All the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never allowed anyone to touch his feet, but these guards, they physically touched and they pleaded with him that if you don't do this, then these thousands of people are going to be physically coming upon you to touch your feet. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had no choice. So then the guards took away this bucket of water, buckets of water, they mixed other buckets in that so that there was sufficient water, and they distributed that water to all the assembled people who were then satisfied. So after that he was given the title Singha Guru, Lion Guru, because of the way he boldly, fearlessly and so eloquently preached with such erudition and scholarship. In this way he demolished the myth that one is a Brahmana by birth, and he emphasized the Daivi Varnashrama conception that had been especially spoken about by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Daivi Varnashram system, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, is the Varnashram system where one is understood as being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya, anything according to one's qualities, and one simultaneously performs the Varnashram duties as well as one's duties in devotional service, with primary focus on devotional service, adopting, borrowing and accepting principles from the ritualistic Varnashram that facilitate one's devotional service and rejecting those that do not facilitate one's bhakti. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta also, he spoke very strongly, and despite the fact that the Brahmanas were defeated time and again, some of them could not concede defeat and they bore very deep enmity within their heart for Bhakti Siddhanta, and they tried to trouble him in many ways. The caste Brahmanas were not the only enemies that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta made. He also spoke very strongly against the upper sampradayas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had listed 13 upper sampradayas that were prevalent at that time. Since his time, now many more have come up, like the Ritviks, for example. It's another upper sampradaya philosophy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had identified these people like Aula, Baula, Karta Bhaja, Sahajiya, and so on, Sakhi Bheki. And he analyzed the teachings of each and explained how they were deviating from Mahaprabhu's pure teachings. So because he was speaking out so strongly against them, many times there was threat even to his life. People would oppose him. There were times when they would go on Sankirtan and people would pelt stones when His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada founded ISKCON, and devotees would go out in Harinam Sankirtan processions in different parts of the world. The devotees experienced opposition, sometimes very vigorous and violent, when devotees would be beaten up or people would throw stones at them and so on. So this was not the first time. It happened even when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was leading Harinam Sankirtan processions. People who were offended by his teachings would incite the local population to rise against Bhaktisiddhanta's devotees. It happened even here in Braj, when he came for Braj Mandal Parikrama, and the deities were being taken out nicely on a palanquin, and hundreds of devotees were chanting ecstatically, but the local population was somehow provoked by some caste Goswamis who were very much against Bhaktisiddhanta's teachings. As far as the upper sampradayas were concerned, he spoke on the pure principles and established how these teachings were different. One time, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had reached Puri after traveling to Remuna and other places, and young Bhaktisiddhanta had accompanied him on those journeys, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to the banks of the sea, to the shore of the sea in Puri, and he came to Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. And at that place, he decided to set up a bhajan kutir for himself, where he could do his bhajan, especially for his later days. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was there, and he helped his father, he served him there for some time. And it was at this location that both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would speak regularly. Incidentally, by a stroke of great good fortune for us, in this very place, Bhakti Kuti, there exists our ISKCON temple in Puri. At that very place where Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur performed his bhajan. And it is also interesting that while Bhakti Vinod Thakur would speak from the Shastras, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would also speak in Bhakti Vinod's presence. Bhakti Vinod was his Shiksha Guru, his father, his superior. But Bhakti Vinod was so fond of listening to his own son because of his devotion and his erudition that he would make his own son speak even in his presence, and he would sit and listen to his son's Chaitanya Charitamrita classes in particular. Many people would come to listen to Bhaktisiddhanta, and they were very enlivened, inspired and impressed by his talks. There was one Babaji who would come, whose name was Radha Ramana Charan Das Babaji. Initially, he had a very good relationship with Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta. But later on, the relationships soured because this Babaji was presenting some deviant principles. He introduced the chanting of this Bhajan Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Now we all hear this on the loudspeaker all the time. If you're some walking around Krishna Balaram land, you will hear this mantra practically all day long in one of the neighboring ashrams. Now, this particular mantra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, suffered from various weaknesses or faults, doshas. One of them was Siddhanta Virodha. The other was Rasabhas. Siddhanta Virodh means it was against the proper Siddhanta or the conclusion of the teachings of Mahaprabhu. And Rasabhas because it was a conflict and overlapping of mellows. The reason why this Babaji had introduced this particular mantra was that it was his opinion that the Mahamantra should not be chanted audibly. And therefore to cover it up he had this mantra. Bhaktisiddhanta preached very strongly that the chanting of the holy name has to be done loudly. That is Mahaprabhu's process. The holy name can be chanted in kirtan and also in japa. That means either loudly or softly. And he explained that chanting loudly is superior to chanting softly. And furthermore, Radha Ramana Charan Das Babaji also introduced the Sakhi Bheki Upper Sampradaya, in which he dressed up one of his associates as Lalita Sakhi, and that was also an offense. So despite the good instructions of Srila Bhakti Vinod and also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, this Babaji did not listen, and therefore there was a bad relationship there from his side. and that sect continued, and they bore some ill will towards Bhaktisiddhanta. But Bhaktisiddhanta never compromised on his teachings. He continued to speak very, very fearlessly and boldly. Many times, the other followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would criticize Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for what they called his chopping technique. Chopping technique indicated the way in which he would preach. He would chop and cut to pieces all opposing arguments, all arguments that were against the pure principles as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was another major contribution of his, that he demolished the philosophies of all these upper sampradayas and re-established the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their preeminent position. Furthermore, it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who established many, many temples, 64 mutts to be precise, all over the country. He also established deity worship in many places. He established padapithas, that is, the lotus footprints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at all the different places where Mahaprabhu had traveled. Even at places far in the south like Srirangam. And those of you who have gone to Srirangam, you will notice that at a particular point, at place, not far from the temple, there is a place where Mahaprabhu stayed. And at that place, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went and he installed the padapitha, the lotus footprints of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he did that at many, many places. He also identified many of the places where Mahaprabhu traveled in the course of his preaching and his yatras. And he identified them, and till today these places are available for devotees to visit. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also a great pioneer along with his father in printing devotional literatures. He called it the Brihat Mridanga, the Great Mridanga. He said that the sound of the Mridanga can be heard only for a few blocks. But if you have a printing press, then the literatures that can be generated from the printing press can reach the whole planet. They can reach thousands and thousands of miles. And it was Bhaktisiddhanta who established the first press in Calcutta, and later on also in Navadvip. And he began to print many, many books published and written by his father. He was particularly keen on publishing Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was one of his favorite books, along with the commentaries of his father. It was called the Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, and his own commentary, which was called the Anubhashya. Along with that, he also wanted to publish the Bhagavad Gita with the Sarartha Varshini commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and many other literatures. He started publishing many magazines as well. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had started a magazine called Sajjana Toshani. Toshani means that which makes you happy, and Sajjan means gentleman, cultured people. So that which makes the cultured people happy. So what is it that makes really cultured people happy? Talks about Krishna. So that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continued that after Bhaktivinoda's departure. And he started publishing it in English under the name The Harmonist. And then he had that translated into many languages, into Odia, into Assamese. He also began publishing the Gaudiya, which became the official magazine of the Gaudiya Mutt. And one time he started a newspaper called the Nadia Prakash. And someone asked him, that do you have enough material to fill up a newspaper, which is supposed to be a daily publication? So Bhaktisiddhanta replied that even in this world, full of all kinds of mundane events, people publish daily newspapers. In the spiritual world in Goloka, which is far, far unlimitedly bigger than the material world, There are events on the transcendental plane going on every second. So what to speak of publishing a daily newspaper, even if you were to publish a newspaper about the spiritual world every second, it would not be enough. That newspaper was called Nadia Prakash, the illumination coming from Nadia, the place of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Another contribution that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made was in his innovative preaching techniques. Everywhere that he established temples, he established dioramas, exhibitions, sculptures, and he would have variety of different cultural programs, because he understood that somehow or other he had to attract the dull minds of the people of Kali Yuga. And particularly at that time, it was politically a very turbulent period for India. There was a fight against the British for independence, political independence, and people were fired up with the freedom struggle and so on. And it was in this period that Bhaktisiddhanta had to really work to attract people to Krishna consciousness somehow or other. So he used all these different methods to attract the people. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his contributions being so extraordinary and so clear, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada actually imbibed that very spirit. And he introduced many of the things that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started. In fact, it was Bhaktisiddhanta who started the whole concept of sannyas in the Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Although there were precedents, like Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur had also taken sannyas, Tridandi sannyas. Gadadhar Pandit had also taken Tridandi sannyas, and he had given his disciple Madhav Upadhyay, who later became Madhavacharya, not to be confused with the Madhvacharya of Udupi, he gave him Tridandi sannyas. So there were precedents at a period soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but thereafter people mostly wore what is called the Babaji Vesha. Vesha means dress. And the dress of the Babaji was very simple. There was just a simple cloth across the waist, going down till the knees, not lower. And perhaps just a little cloth on the shoulders or the chest, and that's it. The idea was that the Babaji said that the Vaishnavas are in a transcendental position. The Babaji Vesh, strictly speaking, was for those on the Paramhansa platform, who were constantly absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. The Varnashrama system is for those who are still within the modes of nature. For example, the Shudras are in the mode of ignorance, the Vaishyas are in the mixed modes of ignorance and passion, the Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion, the Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness. Similarly, for the sannyasis, even the sannyasis are supposed to be in the mode of goodness because it's still a part of the Varnashrama system. So the idea was that a Vaishnava, being transcendental, being superior, being beyond the Varnashrama system, a Vaishnava therefore should not be a sannyasi. A Vaishnava should be like a Babaji, completely renounced and completely beyond the trappings, the so-called trappings of the Varnashrama system. And then the Babajis would be absorbed, the genuine Babajis would be absorbed in the chanting of the holy names. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw the needs of preaching, he decided it was proper for him to take sannyas. One time, at the time of the departure of his Guru Maharaj Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he had felt the need. What had happened was that as soon as Gaur Kishore Das Babaji had departed, many of the so-called Babajis who were living around, sensing an opportunity, had come forward to stake claim to their right to place Babaji Maharaj in the Samadhi. They said, yes, I am the one who will place Gaurkishore Das Babaji in Samadhi. Word was quickly sent to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who was at a distance. He had to cross the river and he hurried there bare feet. And then even as all these Babajis were quarreling among themselves as to who would be the one to place Babaji Maharaj in Samadhi, and it was becoming a difficult situation and the police had to be called in, Bhaktisiddhanta arrived at that spot. And in a very loud and stern voice, he began to challenge all the Babajis there in public. And he said, I am the disciple, I am the only disciple of Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and therefore I will be the one to do Samadhi. And then they all protested. He said, but you are not a sannyasi, therefore you have no right to place him in Samadhi. So then Bhaktisiddhanta replied, yes, it is true that I am not formally a sannyasi, but I am a Naishtika Brahmachari. I have been a Brahmachari from my birth. I have never had any association with women. Now tell me amongst you, which of you has not had association with a woman? Any of you who are of stainless purity, who have not associated with a woman for the last 1 year, come forward. For the last 6 months, come forward. Last 3 months, 1 month, 3 days, come forward. The policeman was asking Bhaktisiddhanta, well, how can you prove? He said, I will take their word. I will take them at their word. And even when he said, if you haven't associated with a woman for 3 days, come forward, nobody could come forward. And then there was no one but Bhaktisiddhanta left, who was qualified to touch the divine body of Sri Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had always been thinking, even from that time, that although the Babaji Vesha is genuine, and our six Goswamis of Vrindavan had the Babaji Vesha, they were genuine Babajis because they were fixed on the transcendental platform, absorbed in pure love of Godhead. But there were so many imitation Babajis like these who simply wore the Babaji cloth but were not at all on that platform. And he felt that it was a great insult to great Paramhamsas like the six Goswamis, and also to Gaurkishore Das Babaji and to his own father, Bhaktivinod Thakur, who had also taken Babaji Vesh at a certain point after retiring from his professional services with the government. So he felt that it was time to establish the proper standard of who can be a real Babaji and not. Just simply by wearing a Babaji Vesh, one does not become situated on the transcendental platform. So therefore, he thought that it was necessary to re-establish certain ideas from the Varnashrama system into the Vaishnava cult. And because the sannyasi is respected, therefore he said, yes, I should take sannyas, and Vaishnava should take sannyas for the sake of preaching. And he had that example when the Babaji challenged him that you were not a sannyasi and therefore you cannot place Babaji Maharaj in Samadhi. And then Bhaktisiddhanta wrote very powerfully that our taking of sannyas is not for the sake of egotism. It's not to get adulation, worship, prophet adoration and distinction, puja la pratishtha. That is not our objective. He said our objective in taking sannyas is to expand the preaching. It is to increase our loving service to the Supreme Lord, and for no other purpose. When many people saw that this was a sannyas in the Vaishnava cult, there were many objections. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very clear in his mind. And particularly after the passing away of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and particularly when one of his disciples requested him to come to Calcutta for preaching and he would arrange many programs for him, Bhaktisiddhanta resolved in his mind that he would take sannyas. And then one day, keeping a picture of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj in front of him, he took sannyas from the photograph, from the picture. Now, this is something that cannot be imitated. First, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is an eternal associate of the Lord, an eternally liberated soul. He is situated on the Paramahansa platform, completely transcendental. He is absorbed in the love of Godhead. Second of all, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Gaurakishwardas Babaji Maharaj, was not there. He didn't have any God brothers. Neither did Bhaktisiddhanta have any God brothers. So who would he take sannyas from? There was nobody from whom he could take sannyas. Therefore, he was left with no choice but to take sannyas in front of the photograph of his spiritual master, which he did. He also introduced the idea of the sacred thread. The Babajis would not wear the sacred thread that the Brahmanas wear. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta reintroduced the idea of Vaishnavas wearing the sacred thread for the same reasons as the reason for which he took sannyas. To establish that actually the Vaishnavas are not people lower than Brahmanas. Actually, they are higher than Brahmanas. Because at that time, there were many upper sampradaya cults who had brought such disrepute to the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the caste Brahmanas held them in scant regard. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur felt that it was very necessary to restore the dignity and the prestige of the Vaishnavas. And therefore he introduced the wearing of the sacred thread and then the saffron cloth and the sannyas cloth and so on. So all these innovations, he did that very boldly, despite so much opposition from the people of his time. There is so much about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but I will just briefly go through chronologically his life, just picking out important incidents and just touching upon them very, very briefly. He appeared in the year 1874 in Jagannath Puri. His father, of course, as we have mentioned, was Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was known as Kedarnath Datta, and his mother's name was Srimati Bhagavati Devi. And when he was born, he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his throat, somewhat like the sacred thread that is wrapped around the throat for Brahmanas. And when the astrologer saw him, he remarked that he has all the 32 symptoms of a great personality, a Mahapurush. And when he saw the horoscope, he says, I have studied many, many horoscopes, but I have never seen any horoscope like this. This boy is an extraordinary person, and he is going to blaze new trails in the path of learning, and he is going to make a mark on the whole world. Even as a child, there were many extraordinary incidents that happened. At that time, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the district magistrate of the state of the city of Puri, and as part of his duties, he was also the chief administrator for the Jagannath temple there. On the day of the Rath Yatra, by the Lord's arrangement, the Rath stopped exactly in front of Bhakti Vinod's house. That is the place where the Gaudiya Math now is. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur brought his wife, Bhagavati Devi. Bhagavati Devi was carrying young Bhaktisiddhanta in her arms. He had been named Bimala Prasad. There is a deity of Bimala Devi in the compound of Jagannath temple. Bimala Devi is the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. So Bimala Prasad means the mercy of the internal potency of the Lord. And he was at that time only a few days old, and maybe a few months. And the cart had stopped there for 3 days in front of Bhakti Vinod's house. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur ordered that there should be non-stop kirtan going on there in front of the Rath. And everyone was chanting, and because he was a district magistrate, naturally, when his wife came with the child, she was ushered onto the Rath. And baby Bimala Prasad grabbed the lotus feet of Jagannath. And he grabbed the garland, and it is said that the garland fell onto his neck. And everybody understood that this was a very, very auspicious sign. When he was only 10 months old, young Bimala Prasad was moved to Ranaghat area in Bengal in the district of Nadia. He went in a palanquin in the lap of his mother, and he stayed there for a long time. When he was only about 2 or 3 years old, that famous incident about eating of the mango that was not offered to Krishna happened, which I'm sure everybody has heard about. Bhaktivinod Thakur brought the mango, and the young Bimala Prasad ate the mango without offering it. He was gently rebuked by his father, and even at the age of 3, he felt so bad about it, he resolved never again to eat a mango in his life. And Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one lecture, I think he said that in one of the Disappearance Day lectures of Bhaktisiddhanta, he said that my Guru Maharaj, whenever we would offer him mango, he would say, no, 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 I cannot eat this because I am a great offender. So all his life, he never ate mango after that incident. Imagine, it reminds one of the austerities and the firmness of Dhruva Maharaj, who was so staunch in his vow at the age of 5, and Narad Muni told him, you're only a small child of 5. It's not for you to take such firm vows. So similarly, at the age of 2 or 3, young Bimala Prasad decided he would not eat mangoes, and he never ate mangoes the rest of his life, considering himself to be an offender. When young Bhaktisiddhanta was only 7 years old, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was building his house in Calcutta, which he was going to call Bhakti Bhavan. And while excavating the earth, Bhaktivinoda came upon a deity of Lord Kurma, and he was overjoyed. And he asked his young son, who was only 7 years old, to worship the deity, and he taught him the basic procedures of how to worship this deity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would often speak about the Bhagavad Gita, and young Bimala Prasad would hear with rapt attention, being completely absorbed in that. And all the adults who gathered there would be struck with wonder, because generally when children sit in a lecture, they get bored after some time. Even adults get bored, so what to speak of children. And they are restless, and they go up and down and do some mischief. But this young boy would sit there with eyes wide open, attentively hearing with rapt attention every word that his father would speak. And it was very shortly after that, at the age of 7, that he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, all the 700 verses. And not only that, he could explain each verse very eloquently. And all the people would simply just come there to just look at him and hear him. A little later, his father took his help to edit the Sajjan Toshini magazine. And even though he was only 10 or 11 years old, but he would work and help his father in the editing work. At the age of 11, he toured many holy places with his father. And by this time, he had already become a young scholar, because he had a photographic memory. Whatever he read one time, he would remember. So he was a voracious reader. He would read all the philosophical books that he could find, all the scriptures. And he was sent to school. In school, he particularly studied mathematics and astrology and astronomy. And he was so brilliant in his studies that his teachers gave him the title Siddhanta Saraswati. Saraswati is the goddess of learning, so someone who has very special blessings of the goddess of learning in understanding all the conclusions. And although he went to school, but he never really spent time studying the school books. He was mostly concerned with reading his father's books. And still, he could answer all the questions that his teachers asked him in the school. And he would always be the top of the class. because of his sheer brilliance. A little later on, his father had started the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha, the assembly of the grand universal assembly of Vaishnavas, and he would attend these weekly meetings. Actually, the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha had been started by Srila Jiva Goswami, and that is mentioned in the Shat Sandarbhas. And the idea was that all the bona fide followers of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, would come together to practice and preach the principles that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And this gathering of Vaishnavas, Jiva Goswami called Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha. Raj means kings. The kings amongst the chief amongst all the Vaishnavas would come gather together. And that continued, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains in one of his articles. It continued on till the time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhushan. And then for the second time, the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha came into existence because of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains that actually the Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha is eternally existing on the transcendental plane, but it has descended three times. One time with Jiva Goswami, the second time with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and after Bhakti Vinod Thakur departed from this world, there was some disruption in that society, and it was revived for a third time by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. So as a young boy, he would attend the meetings of this Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha, and he would hear all the discourses that his father did on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and so on. And by this time, he had become an excellent, unbeatable debater. There are parallels we can see to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Mahaprabhu exhibited his pastimes of scholarship in grammar, similarly, young Bhaktisiddhanta exhibited his scholarship in astrology, astronomy, mathematics, Sanskrit, and so on. And at one time, there was a particular scholar whose name was Panchanana Sahityacharya, who was very renowned as an astrologer. And there was a debate one time, and he thoroughly defeated this great scholar. And his fame started to spread everywhere. It was at this age of only 11 that he invented a form of shorthand writing called Bikanto. Srila Prabhupada also mentions this in one place, that he was only 11 and he devised a whole script to write things very briefly. And by the time he was 13 years old, his father Bhakti Vinod Thakur had brought Tulsi Mala, neck beads for him, and he had also given him Harinam and also a Narsingha mantra. And Bhakti Vinod instructed him to religiously chant these mantras and follow the procedures he had taught him, and to worship his Kurma deity. At the age of 16, he actually not only studied his own father's books, but he began writing his own books in astrology. There was no parallel to his scholarship. And he also started an august assembly which was called Chirakumar Sabha. Chira means long time, Kumar means youth, actually a brahmachari. And this was not like the Rotary clubs and Lions clubs. It was, the qualification was a little unusual. It was open for young men who took a vow of celibacy. If only someone was prepared to be a celibate, he was allowed to join this. And then he would have different types of sessions where they would discuss all kinds of philosophical issues and astrological things. And it happened, so happens that probably he was amongst the only ones who maintained that vow very, very strictly till the very end. At the age of 18, he entered into the Sanskrit college. It's a famous college. And although he didn't study the textbooks, but he knew everything just by hearing once, he was an excellent student, and he would spend most of his time not reading the college books but his father's books. One of his Sanskrit teachers, he advised him that you are a very brilliant student, now you should study more on Sanskrit grammar, and you read this Siddhanta Kaumudi all your life. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, all my life? I don't want to be stuck with Sanskrit grammar all my life. He says, the life is meant for devoting to the mission and the revolution of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not for becoming an expert in grammar. So he had a strong difference of opinion with his teacher, and then he decided that enough of this Sanskrit grammar, let me leave now. And he thought, at the age of 21, that if I become more of a scholar, then many householders will become attracted to me and they will think, here is a nice young man for our daughter. So he writes in his autobiography, he writes that I decided that if I remain like a fool, then nobody will get their daughters married to me. So better I should leave this school, this college, and I should do something else and devote myself to the mission of Mahaprabhu. But he didn't immediately embark upon that. He still continued with astrology and astronomy for some time. He started a Saraswati Chatushpathi where he would teach students astrology. And he started writing books. He wrote a book called Jyotirvid Brihaspati. Then he edited and commented on the famous astronomical text called the Surya Siddhanta. And Ashutosh Mukherjee is a very famous personality in social and literary circles in Calcutta in those days. He invited him to be a professor of astrology in the Calcutta University, but Bhaktisiddhanta refused because he didn't want to get trapped in that cycle. He also published an almanac which basically gave the different dates, the various tithis and the festivals and so on. And at the specific request of Jagannath Das Babaji, he composed an almanac in which everything was Krishnaized. All the terms, all the names and everything was done with a point of view of devotional service to Sri Krishna. It was after this that Bhaktisiddhanta left astrology. In 1895, at the age of 21, he took up employment with the Maharaja of Tripura, which was then an independent state. Initially, he edited some works for the Maharaja, and then upon the demise of the Maharaja, his son came to the throne, and the new king asked Bhaktisiddhanta to tutor his sons, which he did. And in that 10-year period, when he served the Maharaja of Tripura, he also traveled to other places in between. He also wrote many literatures. And one of his visits was to South India. And there he associated extensively with the Madhvites and the Ramanujites, and particularly with the Ramanuja followers. He learned from them their rituals and procedures for taking sannyas, for worship of the deity. He engaged in extensive scholarly discussions with them. And in this way, he understood the entire philosophy and the teachings of the Sri Sampradaya, of the Madhva Sampradaya, and so on. And he also continued his tours in other places along with his father. And then after that, he came back. At this time, Bhaktivinod Thakur was becoming old, and that was a phase which I described earlier in Jagannath Puri, where he would be at the Bhakti Kuti. Although he had received so much acclaim and praise from the scholars in South India, but in Jagannath Puri there was great opposition to Bhaktisiddhanta. In fact, it became so difficult for him to live there that finally Bhaktivinod Thakur advised him to leave Jagannath Puri. He said, now you go and do bhajan in Yogapit in Nadia, in Navadvip. So at the age of 31, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went there, the Yogapeet area, which had already been identified by Bhakti Vinod Thakur with the help of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and he sat there to do intense bhajan, just like Haridas Thakur did. And because he wanted to prepare himself for his future preaching mission, he understood that unless I do strong bhajan, strong austerity, I will not have the strength to do what Mahaprabhu wants me to do. So then he started chanting 300,000 names a day, just as Haridas Thakur did. In other words, 192 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Along with that, he followed strictly all the vows of Chaturmasya. It was unbelievable or unimaginable the kind of austerities he would do. And when his spiritual master, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, saw this, he was struck with wonder and says, "My Prabhu's austerities are like that of Sri Roop and Sri Raghunath." Gaur Kishore Das Babaji referred to his disciple as "My Prabhu." And this was a practice that Bhaktisiddhanta also followed in his life by calling his disciples like that. Because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was so humble that he would never really think himself to be the spiritual master of anyone. And he understood, initially he was very hesitant to give diksha to Bhaktisiddhanta because Bhaktisiddhanta was such a great scholar. And the first time at Bhakti Vinod's urging, when young Bhaktisiddhanta had approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, the Babaji had refused outright. Many times he approached him, but each time he would refuse. One time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji told him, "Well, I cannot initiate you unless I have permission from Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu." So the next time, Bhaktisiddhanta went and asked him, "Have you asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for permission to initiate me?" And then Gaur Kishore Das replied, "Oh, I forgot." Then again a third time he went and said, "Have you asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for initiation, to initiate me?" And he said, "Well, Mahaprabhu has not given the permission." So then Bhaktisiddhanta told him, after a very tearful speech, "It is better for me to give up my life than to be here without receiving the mercy of an exalted soul like you." And then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's heart melted and he initiated him as his only disciple. But although he was his disciple, he always considered him "My Prabhu." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also spoke on this. In one essay he writes, I don't remember the exact words, but it goes something like this. He says that actually, if a Vaishnav doesn't become a guru, then how will the Vaishnav lineage continue? How will the Vaishnav sampradaya continue? But there is a difficulty also. If a Vaishnav becomes a guru, then he becomes a non-Vaishnav. Why is that? Because he has to consider himself as a guru of somebody else. When actually a Vaishnava's position, he's always a servant of everybody. And if actually someone considers himself to be a guru, then actually he's a guru. A guru in Bengali means a cow. So this is not a guru, but a guru. So on one hand, there is the necessity of a Vaishnava to take on the position of initiating others who come after him for the sake of continuing the mission of Mahaprabhu. But there is a great need, on the other hand, of that Vaishnava and all Vaishnavas taking positions of extreme humility in understanding really that we are not the actual guru. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta many times would say that "You are all representatives of my Guru Maharaj." And one time, on the disappearance day anniversary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada also said the same thing. He said, "I am very grateful to all of you boys and girls because you are helping me to execute the mission of my Guru Maharaj. So I can understand that my Guru Maharaj has sent all of you to me. So you are representatives of my Guru Maharaj. So in this way, the genuine Vaishnava spiritual master is always in the position mentally of being a servant. Srila Prabhupada, our Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, remembers, and he mentions one time that whenever I would offer my obeisances to my Guru Maharaj, he would always fold his head, bow his head and say, Dasosmi. Dasosmi means, I am your servant. So this was Bhakti Siddhanta's mood. And he would remain there. So his mood of humility, his austerities would touch the heart of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. And in this way some years went by. And then this incident happened about the Vaishnavan Brahman Sabha, which I talked about earlier. There were many, many such misconceptions, one of them being that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the Supreme Lord. You cannot worship the deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So citing many, many evidences from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, the Chandogya Upanishad, the Vedas and so on, he established in a firm footing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna himself, and that to worship the deity of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is perfectly in accordance with the will of the Lord and with proper Shastric teaching. One time he went to, at the invitation of a particular king, because he saw the opportunity to preach there. Earlier, the sannyasis would never approach a king. We remember Mahaprabhu's mood that he would never see King Prataparudra, because he said that he is a man of shillings and pence, pounds and pence, as Prabhupada says. But Bhaktisiddhanta understood the need of the times, so he went there. But in that palace there were many, many envious people who did not want Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to speak, so they didn't allow him to speak. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta fasted for 4 days. He didn't eat anything. He just would take a tulsi leaf and be satisfied with that. Finally, he got a chance to speak only for 5 minutes at the end of 4 days, and at the end of 5 minutes he was shouted down by the brahmanas and the other ministers who were there in the court. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta rose and left. The king felt a little guilty and he came to see him off at the railway station, and he said, why did you not eat in my house, in my palace? The ministers and others had fed some wrong information to the king, and they had told him that actually this sannyasi has not eaten in your house because he thinks that you are from a lower caste, from the Tili caste, and therefore he finds it below his dignity to eat in your house. Then Bhaktisiddhanta explained that that is not the reason. The reason is that I go anywhere only when I have an opportunity to preach. If I do not get a chance to speak about Krishna, then how can I eat in that house? That food which is cooked by people who have no faith in the Lord, who have no faith in the holy name, who have no faith in the deity of the Lord, how can I eat even a morsel of food there? And then he took a train at 11 o'clock at night, reached his destination at 2:30 in the morning, and then went back to his ashram, cooked his food, and then ate after 4 days. So that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That was his staunchness. Finally, just before he was taking sannyas, the inspiration from him after the passing away of his two gurus, his two prominent gurus, Bhaktivinod Thakur and Gaur Kishordas Babaji, he had a dream, a vision, a most extraordinary dream in which he saw the Panchatattva coming, ecstatically chanting, coming towards him, and along with them were Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, there was Bhaktivinod Thakur, there was Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, and all of them were there chanting ecstatically. And then they came and assured him that, don't worry, go ahead with your work, we are all with you, we are by your side. And getting that tremendous inspiration and that vision, it was then that he actually took sannyas. And then very shortly thereafter, he built the first temple in Yogapeet with the donations given by some very rich merchant. And then there was no looking back. From strength to strength, the Gaudiya Math, as he called it, expanded and expanded. There is a lot to be said about that, but some other time. He established soon 64 different temples. He even asked his disciples to go to the west. And in his passing, in his last few days, he preferred to be in Calcutta. He heard Sridhar Maharaj singing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. He had another of his disciples singing the Shikshashtakam to him. In the last 2 days in particular, he intensely spoke about the principle of humility. This seemed to be the theme of his discussion, and how one should be devoid of the sense of false prestige, and how one should be completely dedicated to the mission of Mahaprabhu, and of purity of thoughts, words, and actions. Again and again he quoted from the songs and the verses of the Vaishnava Acharyas, particularly of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's and Narottam Das Thakur's songs. And before that also, he chanted the prayers of Rupa Goswami about the glories of Govardhan Hill, and also Raghunath Das Goswami's famous prayers. Nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanatvam, about the residence in Govardhan. And he used to again and again chant this prayer, Raghunath Das Goswami's prayer, petitioning the Lord for giving him eternal residence near Govardhan. And in this way, repeatedly giving his devotees instructions and blessings. Then at 5:30 in the morning on the 1st of January 1937, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur re-entered the eternal pastimes of the Lord in the most glorious way. As we have often heard, the final teaching of the great Vaishnava Acharyas is often their most important teaching, and that teaching is the manner in which they depart from this world. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed in the most exemplary manner, the most ideal example. And all his disciples were surrounding him, and there was great lamentation. And then the last rites appropriate for a great Vaishnava Acharya were performed. He was taken back to Navadvip and placed in Samadhi there. And his Samadhi memorial is still there. Even in his last years, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very concerned about the way things were going in the mutt. One time, here in Braj, our Srila Prabhupada recalls that he told him in Bengali that there is fire about to break out. We have built such a nice marble palace in Bagh Bazar, the temple of the Lord, but just see what these devotees are doing. When we had our small little rented place in Ultadanga Junction, that was a place where Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada met him for the first time. When we had a rented place, everything was so nice. And now that we have this nice huge marble palace, everyone is fighting for the rooms. I want this room, I want that room. If I had my way, if it ever comes to it, we should dismantle and sell every block of marble and we should print books. And in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta instructed Srila Prabhupada also. And that spirit of distributing the literatures, the Brihat Mridanga, was so much imbibed in our Srila Prabhupada's consciousness that it's apparent now. Every day we see Prabhupada's statements, books are the basis, and now the December book marathon is going on, and everywhere all over the world devotees are distributing books following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and even Srila Bhakti Vinod. So on this day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance, we can reaffirm our commitment to this most glorious and wonderful mission, which is meant for the deliverance of the whole universe. It is our great fortune that somehow or other we are at a point in history that is so close to these great acharyas of the modern time, like Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So on this day we can pray at his lotus feet that he may kindly grant us a few drops of his mercy, that we may also become humble instruments in his service for the furtherance of this mission. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Disappearance Day Festival Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. At 12:30 we will chant some bhajans here. Please do come to join us for chanting these bhajans. Then we will have Pushpanjali and then Guru Puja. Hare Krishna.